This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five oh six in the evening with Lynn and Ayman, and for our first story today, it is a popit sejarah because we are looking at how the redevelopment of Kampung Bahru will affect its cultural heritage. Now, this is coming after we read a Malaysia Kini article where heritage historian Naj Arifin said that the Kampung Bahru development plan does not fully take into account the potential of the area as a tourist attraction, especially considering its cultural heritage.
Yeah, and he pointed out that Kampung Bahru is a hub of Malay cultural activities, especially when it comes to food, because there's all these variety of local cuisines and stalls, restaurants, bazaars and the like. So he believes that this heritage must be preserved for its tourism value, just like they're doing in Bukchong Hanok village in South Korea, for example.
So, like we said, we want to popek about this today. So we want to hear from you. Earlier today, of course, our interns Shamin and Melina actually went out to get some views from the public regarding this idea of preserving cultural heritage. And here is what people had to say about it.
No, I don't think so. Because, like my friend told me, you gotta move on. You have to live in the past. And at the same time, with that, you can build other stuff, other buildings that are much more beneficial to the community or to the people outside.
Heritage building is something that we cannot get back if we destroy it. So here is that we have our culture that we are proud of, so we should preserve, maintain well, and make sure that the people around in Malaysia appreciate it and share it with the world.
Yeah, I think we should. It's cultural heritage. It's history. It basically has the story of how a nation has been built and it's continuously building.
Yes, because for the future generation.
I think we should keep our heritage building because the name itself is heritage. It's part of our culture and it's part of who we are as a nation. So I think like heritage buildings, they represent the past, the history that we hold as a nation. So yeah, I think we definitely should keep it.
I definitely agree on keeping the heritage building now because it does have history and it also brings a lot of color to the city and so on.
So this is a conversation that's been running throughout the station today. I think our friends over at on Enterprise earlier today during the Abyss Bite segment also spoke about heritage, specifically to do with the Odeon Cinema, that one. But today we're looking at Kampung Bahru as a whole. And I suppose the idea of whether or not we are talking about cultural heritage as a tangible value, right? Because every time we talk about Kampung Bahru, we talk about land, we talk about the cost of it, but we're not discussing, I guess, all the other things surrounding that notion.
Yeah, because like you said, Lynn, there are these tangible and intangible values. So tangible values would be like, as a heritage site, for example, if people come there, and tourists come there and spend on food and other attractions there, then it would have a direct impact on the economic well-being of the people in Kampung Bahru. But there are also these intangible parts of being a cultural heritage that you just cannot replace through redevelopment. This is things like the experience of the children growing up there, for example, how they bond with the people there and how they live within this Malay community, for example. And I think that the redevelopment plan, while it does say that one of the pillars is cultural preservation, to what extent or the details of it, I don't think they really know how to preserve that part of it. And that is one of the things that Naj is sort of pointing out here.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about preservation, I think it's also important to talk about how it will look and feel. I think that's what you're referring to in part, but also I remember when I first visited the Forbidden City in Beijing, and it didn't look anything like how I expected it to look. And I, looking back now, I realized that that's probably on me. I don't know what I was thinking or what I was expecting. But I do think when you tell people that they're going to visit a historical site, that when you tell people they're going to visit this place with a lot of heritage, there is a certain expectation. So you have to balance the preservation of the oldness of the place, the fact that it does look a certain way, the fact that it does have certain types of buildings, while I think people also expect creature comforts. So it's about that balance, and I think that's also where gentrification is going to enter the picture.
Yeah, because the Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, did earlier say that Kampung Bahru has become congested, messy, uncomfortable. So there is this aspect of finding a balance between what the place looks and feels like and what the place really does have to offer. So if Kampung Bahru is famous for its food, for example, everyone knows about the nasi lemak antarabangsa, the bubur lambuk that's made during Ramadan. So these are the kinds of areas that Kampung Bahru can capitalize on to bring tourists in and turn itself into a tourist hub, if you would, which is right in the middle of KL City Centre. And I would go there if the food is the attraction there, but there also are other considerations as well, because like when I think of going to KL City Centre, for example, the things I'm thinking about, like, oh, the traffic is so bad in KL, like parking is so difficult. So in terms of redevelopment, I guess you can also consider accessibility as well, how it can help to attract more tourists to come in there.
So we're talking today about Kampung Bahru, and I suppose the tourism potential of it, the heritage potential that's inherent in the place. Do you think that that's an important part of holding on to that, you know, especially in KL, which is so massively, so quickly developing? You know, do we need to hold on to the bits of KL that still have that heritage importance? You know, does it matter to you? You can call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking with Naj Arifin about this in just a little bit. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Ayman, and we're speaking today about the redevelopment of Kampung Bahru and how it might affect its cultural heritage. And really also asking you, do you think that idea of cultural heritage is an important thing to hold on to as we move forward into development? How would you like to see that happen? Tell us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So Naj Arifin joins us on the line now. Naj, thank you for being with us on the program.
Most welcome.
So first of all, how important is Kampung Bahru as a cultural and historical resource for tourism?
Now, the thing is, Kampung Bahru is unique. There's nothing else like Kampung Bahru anywhere in the world. It's the only place in the middle of a city center, a neighborhood that literally was under the shadows of the tallest buildings in the world, and yet it has its own history regardless of the Twin Towers. It was a place that was established for a historic reason, and that was, at that time, over 120 years ago, to be a place to grow food for KL. And for many years, thence, it was a place that helped Kuala Lumpur to grow. And along the way, of course, it evolved. Many changes happened. The food growing requirement was no longer needed. And it turned into a real kampung, a lot of Malay essence, which is missing in Kuala Lumpur today, except for Kampung Bahru. So it's a place that has a lot of the evolution of the history of KL in it. And if this is gone, then that's it. The history of KL is gone with it.
So, Naj, for people who might, I guess, maybe have driven through Kampung Bahru more often than they've walked through it or visited it, could you give us a glimpse into what you're speaking of when you say, you know, Malay essence? What is it that is captured in Kampung Bahru that is that you might not see in other parts of KL, or for that matter, in other kampungs that aren't situated right in the middle of town?
Okay, that's a very good question, because people who just whiz by in the car, or they just go to just to a particular restaurant, you know, they try and park nearby and go to a particular restaurant, and that's it. They will not get that essence. You need to go on a walking tour. You need to walk. You don't even need to go on a walking tour. You just need to walk. Just really walk from one place to another within Kampung Bahru, and then you'll start to see things that are very, very kampung. You really see some remaining kampung houses, wooden houses, traditional houses that you don't see elsewhere in KL, at least not in a concentrated area. You might find one or two stray houses here and there around KL, traditional houses, but that's it. But here you do have an authentic collection, and that's a very important word. Authenticity is what tourism is looking for now. They're looking for authenticity. They don't want replicas. They don't want redeveloped tourist areas. They want the real thing.
So speaking of tours, right, do you currently host any cultural or food tours in Kampung Bahru? And do you find that it's a popular destination among tourists?
Yes, to both. I do regular walking tours, heritage walking tours of Kampung Bahru, as well as gastronomic tours. And yes, every time I go, every time my colleagues who also do walking tours go, there are always backpackers, and you know they're foreign because they look foreign. I mean, they have their cameras in hand, they have their backpacks, they're walking around, they ask questions about, oh, where is this, where is that? Then you know that it is quietly a popular place. You always see backpacker tourists with cameras in hand just walking by because they've read about it. They know that there's a controversy. Even for me, when I finish my own tours, I just say hello to the tourists that I see there. And yes, they start asking questions. They heard about it through friends, or they read it in Lonely Planet or online. And so it is already a tourist attraction in itself. All it needs is just a little more push to develop it as a more organized tourist attraction, as you do see in other historic zones in other cities in the world.
So based on those conversations that you have with the travelers that either come with you on your tours or that you encounter while you're there, what impression do you think tourists have of Kampung Bahru outside, I suppose, of the controversy, outside of what makes the news?
Okay. Now, the thing is, when I do my tours, I tell them from the very beginning that let's look at the history and the authenticity. We're not looking at beauty, okay? We're not looking for beautiful things. We're looking for authentic lifestyle, of authentic things that come with the history of the place. So from the start, they know they're not looking for pretty pictures. Even though there are some Instagrammable points in Kampung Bahru, which do make it into Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media. But what they like and feel is that there is a place within the city center of KL, which is not what they expected as a big urban city. Of course, urban means city. As an urban place, okay? Because now, when we take them on tours, and I'm just not just talking about myself, but my other colleagues, tourist guides, who bring travelers around, who bring visitors around, then they start to see, wow, there's this old kampung house, and then we talk about how it's built, why it's in timber, why it's raised on the ground. You know, if we lose all these, then that's it. There's nothing else in KL that is different from the rest of the world.
So basically, we're talking about cultural tourism. Can you tell us a bit more about the significance of cultural tourism, for example, in terms of the economy and what it brings to the people in Kampung Bahru itself?
Okay. Now, when you talk about cultural tourism or cultural heritage tourism, you know, these related and very important things, which now, more than ever, it's not just a trend. It used to be, you could say, a trend, but now it's a real thing. Travelers, tourists, visitors, they're all looking for heritage and culture because that's what makes it different from their own places. That's what makes it something that's worth visiting. If it's just to come to a shopping complex, then there's shopping complexes everywhere in the world today. But if you want to go to visit little shops, little nooks and crannies where they sell a songkok, there's a songkok maker here, or there's a jamu seller there, you know, then Kampung Bahru is the place where that authentic touch is there. And so cultural tourism is something about the lifestyle, about the real way that people live there. Because if you're talking about culture as in, okay, condominium living is everywhere, Miami or London or wherever. But when you talk about an inner city village, you know, and on my tours, you know, they're surprised that they can still hear they can hear chickens clucking. So they see chickens running about. Where else can you find that? I mean, yeah, some people might think, so what, chickens? But don't forget, some kids in inner cities today have never seen a chicken.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they go to Kampung Bahru, they can see chickens. It's there. You see, and you never know. You go into the inner houses. There are some houses that even have goats. And this is the inner city. There's nothing to be embarrassed about it. This is authentic. This is part of how the people live. Sure, there's some complaints that many foreigners have come in, but the foreigners are not a majority. The majority are still our own Malaysians.
So with that said, I mean, do you think that the residents of Kampung Bahru see the potential that the enclave has as a tourist destination? And is it something that they support? Because when we, I suppose when we see what is being said in the news about residents of Kampung Bahru, the tendency is to, again, talk about it purely in terms of whether or not there will be, whether or not there will be an agreement, whether or not the land is ever going to be sold, etc. So is there also this second push then to say, okay, perhaps it can be viewed in a different light in terms of value?
Okay, now, as in any large group of people, there are always different points of view, different expectations. And it's the same as Kampung Bahru. There are those who, I can honestly say, they want to preserve their lifestyle. They want to be able to continue and bequeath to their children the lifestyle that they, their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents, it's about the fourth generation, coming into the fifth. So, and yes, there are those who want to sell quick and make a quick buck out of it. There are those too. There are those who are unsure. And there are those who maybe today they think one thing and tomorrow another. So it's difficult to say how many, because the percentage of thinking this way or the percentage of people thinking that way really varies from time to time. I dare say that if the price, the offered price increases, you'll have more people who want to sell. That's human nature. But if you look at those who can see the potential, there is a group that sees the potential for tourism to make honest, good money. You may not be a millionaire, but you will make good, honest, sustainable money from sustainable tourism. So that's one big factor.
And how good are we in general at retaining and monetizing our cultural heritage?
We were very bad at it, but I'm happy to say that I think we're beginning to see more and more Malaysians realizing that our culture, our heritage, our history is something that is important for us to preserve. And I'm quite heartened to see that some of the younger generation, those younger than myself, I mean, are beginning to see that. And so for Kampung Bahru itself as well, having many friends there, I can see that there is an understanding that somehow we have to reach a balance. And in the end, everything has to be a balance because, yes, you want development. But development does not mean wholesale destruction of something that was of value before and replacing it with something that is not sure whether you can really make money or anything better out of it.
So right now then, looking around the cultural sites that we have here in the country, are there any examples that you think have really been done well, you know, where you look at it and you're like, this is a shining light that we can look to replicate for future projects?
Okay. There are a few that are pretty good. And for example, some of the better preserved areas of, let's say, Kuching or Kuala Terengganu. But then again, Alostar, for example. But then again, in each of these cities and others that that do have these kind of preserved areas, there's one part which is good, and then there's another part of the town which has been destroyed. Hmm. So it's difficult to just say, oh, this particular city is good, because within that city, at one point, it destroyed something that was so valuable, and yet at another point, they preserved something pretty well for another part. So, but yes, the old heritage part of Kuching, that's pretty good. The Pekan Cina in Kuala Terengganu, that's pretty well done. Again, the waterside in Alostar, that's also pretty well done. So these are good examples, but we need more. And now we're talking about Kampung Bahru, which is totally different from the ones that I mentioned in Kuching or Kuantan or whatever it is. It's totally, totally different. There's none like it anywhere in Malaysia and none like it in the world. So why are we gung-ho about destroying it? Something that we cannot replace. No, even if we build 100 taller skyscrapers in Kampung Bahru, it's not going to replace Kampung Bahru, obviously.
So what would the government have to do then to ensure that the culture of Kampung Bahru doesn't get completely wiped out?
If you were to ask me, and I think many of those heritage lovers who understand the invaluable heritage that we have there, is just let it be. Let Kampung Bahru evolve naturally. And if you want to take a leaf from the other places in around the world that take their inner city heritage zones very, very seriously, for example, in the Gion district of Kyoto, or in all of the historic or heritage city centers of Europe, whether it's Amsterdam or Rome, they are very strict. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. And there's a reason for it. And at the same time, they also want their citizens to take full advantage of the tourism benefits, the tourism potential that you can entice people to come and pay good money to visit.
Mm-hmm. Naj, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today.
Very welcome. Glad I could help.
That was heritage historian Naj Arifin talking to us about the importance of cultural tourism. And, you know, we've been talking today specifically in through the lens of Kampung Bahru, but I'd also like to know, I mean, Naj talks about that idea of traveling for authenticity, traveling for culture. Is that something that you do? You know, do you value that idea of authenticity, not just seeking the pretty photo, but trying to really, I guess, understand how people live? And do you think there's value in that at BFM Radio?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.